Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read a few verses just from Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8, starting at the beginning, the church persecuted and scattered. It says this: on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Let's take a moment to pray. God, we pray that you would come now, and God, that you would speak into each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick question: what's your passion? What is your passion in life? I guarantee every single one of us have a passion, something we're really passionate about in life. For you, it's maybe you really enjoy reading a good book. You might enjoy just getting some time away from everybody else, sitting down with a good cup of coffee or a good cup of tea and just reading a good book. For you, it's maybe music. Maybe you just love getting away. It's like an escape for you to just get down and play some music or listen to some music. Maybe you're like me and you're really passionate about sport. What is your passion? You're maybe like Emma and you're really passionate about birds. What is your passion in life? I guarantee all of us have a passion. Something that we really love to spend our time doing, thinking about, talking to people about, sharing with people about. What is your passion? Because it's good for us to have passions. It's good for us to be really passionate about different things, especially for us as Christians. In the church, we talk loads about being passionate about being disciples of Christ. We should be passionate about reading his word, studying it every day. We should be passionate about praying and coming to God in prayer. We should be passionate about living a lifestyle of worship and glorifying him. Those are things we talk about all the time in church. Every day you should get up and you should read your Bible because it's really good. It helps us to grow. It helps us to grow as disciples. We should be praying. We should be coming before God every day, seeking him and his will. We should be worshiping God in how we live our lives. But how often do we ever get up in the day and think, as much as I need to be passionate today about reading my Bible, as much as I need to be passionate today about praying, as much as I need to be passionate today about giving thanks and praise to God, today I need to be passionate about telling others about him. Today I need to have a passion for the gospel. Sharing the gospel, that gospel truth that for so many of us has completely changed and transformed who we are. Passionate about sharing that with other people. When I read Acts 8, I see a couple of things. I see a lot of hurt. I see a lot of devastation because the church is in great persecution. But at the same time, I see people who have a passion for their faith and are passionate about telling others about it. The early church hadn't long begun, and this movement of Christianity had just begun, and straight from the start, there was people who wanted to tear it down. Stephen had just been killed because he'd stood up for his faith, and now Saul, who we know goes on to be Paul and do unbelievable things for the kingdom of God, he is the one you see is passionate at the start. He's passionate about destroying the church. Now, don't get this wrong. This isn't just Saul, having a bit of a go at the church, having a bit of a poke at the church, mocking the church a wee bit. This guy is heart set on destroying the church. He wants to stop this early church from going any further. And so he makes it his goal in life, his passion, to destroy the church. He starts to go from house to house, pulling families away from each other, putting them in prison, all because they are Christians and because they believe in Jesus. Could you imagine that today? Could you imagine you're sitting having your Sunday roast, nice and peaceful, and all of a sudden people come into your house and tear you out of your house and put you in prison simply because you're a Christian and because you were here this morning? That is what the early church are going through. great persecution. It's not just a wee bit. Actually, it says it was a day of great persecution for the church. That's what they were going through. Could you imagine that today? Could you imagine that happening to us? And so the early church, the believers, they do probably what an awful lot of us would do. They do the human thing. They run. They scatter. They get out of there. They have to uproot their whole families, leave their friends, leave their jobs, leave their homes, leave life as they know it, and go to completely new, strange, different places. All because they're being persecuted. All because they have a faith in Jesus, and they're not willing to waver from it. They're not willing to step away from their faith. And so in Acts 8 here, there's a great persecution for the church. The church is going through a horrible time, and yet in the midst of that, in the midst of what seems like an awful time for the church continues to grow. God continues to use that time to build his kingdom. They go off into Judea and Samaria, and if you flick back to Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, Jesus says that's what's going to happen. He says to his disciples just before he ascends to be with the Father, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will go to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we begin to see that happen. God uses this to spread his word, but he does it through his people. These people who are being threatened with jail or worse. These people who are having to run away just to keep their family safe. All because they are Christians. All because they believe in the gospel. How do they respond? Wherever they are going, they continue to share it. No matter what the situation they find themselves in, they keep on telling others about Jesus. You have to be passionate about something to do that. It takes a passion for something that although you're being threatened with jail or worse, you still are willing to share it with other people. I see a passion for the gospel, a passion for others to know the truth. Why would they have done that? Why would they have gone to new lands and still continued to share the truth of Jesus? Because they knew it was true. It was a truth that had completely changed who they were, and they wanted others to know it. They wanted others to know this truth. And here's the thing, church. We know the truth. We know that truth. For so many of us, that truth has completely changed and transformed who we are, how we live our lives. We know that truth. That truth lives in each and every one of us who are Christians here this morning. And so if we see that truth as important and we want others to know it, then we need to have a passion for the gospel. We need to be willing to tell others that truth. We know the truth, and I was reading a book recently. We've been reading a book as a ministry team, and in a chapter recently it said, with knowledge comes responsibility. If we have the knowledge that Jesus is our Savior, that he is Lord, if we have the knowledge that each and every one of us need his forgiveness, that each and every one of us need him in our lives, each and every one of us need to hear the truth of the gospel. If we have that knowledge, then that knowledge brings about a responsibility. A responsibility for us to tell others. Like I said, we've been reading a book as a ministry team. It's a book called Passion, and it's written by a load of different writers like John Piper and Louis Giglio. And Christine Keane, in one of her chapters, she writes this. This is the plan of God, to use rescued people to rescue people. God doesn't have to use us, doesn't need to use us, and yet he chooses to use us. He invites us into his great plan and wants us to be a part of it. God chooses to use rescued people, you and me, to rescue people. But if we want to see that happen, we need to be passionate about it. We need to be passionate about standing up and actually telling others the truth of Jesus. Do you know what? I was sitting through the week preparing this and writing this and kind of reflecting over it and going through it in my head. And the only thing that I could keep thinking about was, Peter, your heart needs to break. You need to be broken for those that are lost. That's what needs to happen in my life. That's what needs to happen in here for me. I need to be broken. I need to look at those who are lost, those that are not Christians, and see them the way God sees them. See them as people who were created in his image to be in relationship with him, that have been torn away from him because of sin, and yet Jesus is the answer. I need to be broken for those people, not just have a sadness, but have a compassion for them people. Because compassion, when we're compassionate about something, when we have a passion for it, it drives us into action. It makes us stand up and do something about it. And so my heart needs to break. There is a broken, lost, hurting world out there. People who are searching for the truth, searching for something to fill the empty void in their lives, searching for true joy, true peace, true happiness. And guys, we have the answer to that. We know what the answer is to that. We have it living inside of us. We have the answer right here in a book that we can share with them. We know the truth, but we need to be passionate enough to stand up and share it with them. It's not good enough for us to hold it back. Picture you'd really good news. Look back over your life and think, what is the greatest piece of news you've ever had? And I guarantee you shared that piece of news with other people. I guarantee maybe you got engaged and you couldn't wait to tell people. Maybe you were having your first child and you couldn't wait to tell people. Maybe you got a new job and you couldn't wait to tell people. Good news, you shout it from the rooftops. You share it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you might want to share it on. You tell as many people as you possibly can because it brings you so much joy. The gospel is God's good news. We should be shouting it from the rooftops. We should be taking every opportunity we get to share it with those that need to hear it. We need to be passionate about telling others the truth of Jesus. Have a passion for the gospel. But what does that look like? How are we actually going to do that? I think one of the things that when it comes to sharing the gospel, I think the reality for a lot of us is sometimes that is going to push us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's going to push us beyond a place where we feel comfortable. But you know what? That's okay. The early church, they could have so easily took the comfortable route. They could have took the easy way out. They could have denied their faith. They could have kept their homes. They could have kept their families together. They could have kept their jobs, stayed close to their friends. They could have so easily taken the easy route, and yet they saw it worth losing all of that, stepping out of their comfort zone, taking a leap of faith and trusting God. They saw all of that worth doing in order to share the gospel. That's why they kept spreading it. That's why they kept preaching the word of God wherever it was they went, whatever circumstance they found themselves in. They were willing to step out of their comfort zone because sharing the gospel, telling others this incredible truth of Jesus, is worth doing that. And that won't always be easy. That sometimes is going to be hard for us. It's hard to share the gospel with a complete stranger. It can be even harder to share it with a family member or someone you're really close to. But if we see it as important, if we see it as an unbelievable truth, then it's worth being a wee bit uncomfortable. It's worth feeling maybe a wee bit awkward to begin with, to take that risk, to take that leap of faith. In a moment, I want to invite someone up. In fact, Adam, you can come on up now. Adam's one of our youth in church who took a leap of faith. He took a risk and he trusted God. He went beyond his comfort zone in order to tell his friend about Jesus. You take a seat, Adam. We last September, between September and November, ran a thing called the Influencer Academy alongside Exodus, and Adam took part in it. It was practical discipleship training for teenagers, teach them how to practically go and read the Bible with people, pray for and with people, how to share their testimonies with people. It was a really, really good 8 weeks. So Adam took part, and every night there was a bit of a task or a challenge for us to actually go and put what we've learned into practice. So Adam, tell us, first of all, a wee bit about the Influencer Academy and what it involved.
So within the Influencer Academy, it was, like Peter was saying, there was more time spent on teaching us about how to spread the gospel and how to be better disciples and followers of Jesus and telling other people about him. So there was loads of areas. There was like Ballymena and other places like in Coleraine, and within those areas we had smaller groups, so there's about 4 or 5 of us with an older leader, and then every week we would meet at, well, we met in Highkirk 1 week, and then the next week we would go out with just our group, like four or five of us, and go to places like Costa and do like small wee things. Like one of them, we would hand out cards. It was just said, Jesus loves you, stuff like that there, and like put them on car windshields out in the car park of Costa. So it was really good.
So Adam, each session I said had like a different task, and there was one session in particular that had a fairly bold task that you decided to take on. Do you want to share what that was?
So basically we were given, by everyone in our group was given a Bible, and the task was to give it to a friend that might not have a Bible or might not read a Bible very often. So that could be anyone in school or within like a sport group or anything like that.
Okay, and so you decided to give your Bible to your friend. Why did you decide to do that?
So before we actually had gotten the Bibles, I had a friend from rugby at school, and we were quite good friends. So I'd invited him along to our SU at school, and he just started to fit in with our friend group quite well. And like those weeks, he would ask me, "Are you going to SU or training?" And I'd be like, couldn't make up my mind. I was like, I might be going to SU, I don't know. But he was always asking, he was interested, so I decided like it would be a good person to give it to. So he was the first one that came to mind.
Okay, and so you decided to give your friend this Bible. How did you feel about doing that?
So like at the time, whenever I got the Bible, I was like definitely going for it. And then as it came closer to the time, I was a wee bit like the next day, I was like, yeah, I don't know. So it was like we're at break at school, and I was like looking around for him, and I found him, and I was kind of just waiting because there was loads of people around that I didn't want to like hand it out in front of everyone. So I was kind of waiting, and I was just like, I'll just go for it. And I just told him what we did like the day before at Influencer Academy, that we got the Bible and we were to give it to a friend, and I gave it to him, and he was like, he was grateful for it, and he said thank you. And he was like, so when do I have to give it back? And I was like, you don't have to, it's yours to keep. So it was quite good.
And so what was the result of you giving your friend this Bible?
So I was able to meet up with him over the Halloween holidays, like not long after, and we had a wee chat, but we've been busy a wee bit since, so we haven't been able to get talking, but we still do talk about it, and it's he is still interested, and I've been inviting him to stuff within church, but there's always been some sort of problem with snow or something that's causing problems, but no, that is still a big topic that we talk about sometimes.
And so would you say that because of that, that God's begun to do a real work in that guy's life through it?
So I would say like he started to fit in with our friend group, like our SU friend group, a bit better, and being invited along to more things with us, and the fact that he's more interested in talking to me about other stuff like within SU, like if I'm going or other stuff within church. So I think, yeah, he is doing a work in his life.
Great. Guys, can we give Adam a round of applause? It's not always easy to come up here and share. Thank you. Young guy in our church, Adam, passionately wants his friend to know Jesus. He wants an opportunity to do it. He's given this Bible, and so he makes the bold move to step out of his comfort zone and hand out a Bible. That's something I would not have done at his age. That's something that would be me feeling slightly out of my comfort zone probably to do now. To go up to somebody that I know is a close friend of mine and isn't a Christian, just hand them a Bible and say, go and read that. And if you want, I'll meet up and I'll read it with you. He passionately wanted his friend to know Jesus. And so he stepped out of his comfort zone to make that happen. And God is starting to do work in his friend's life. And so here's my question. Guys, who's your friend? Who's the person that you want to see that happen with? I guarantee every single one of us right now can picture somebody in our lives. You can picture a face of somebody that you know needs to know Jesus in their life. And your heart's desire is for them to know him. And so if that's your desire, then go, step out of your comfort zone, take a bold step of faith, trust that God will use you and tell him about Jesus. Take that bold step. There's four things that I think we can do practically in order to be passionate about the gospel, just as I close. I did have three, but I was speaking with a close friend of mine through the week, and I was sharing what I was going to speak on, and they convinced me to add in a really important other one, and so I now have four that doesn't really fit in with my three, and you'll see why in a second, but it's really important. And the first one is this: we need to remember the gospel. We need to remember what the gospel has done in our lives. We need to remember what it has done for us. Remember what Jesus has done for us. How we are forgiven, set free, accepted, loved, all because of what Jesus has done in the cross. And if he can do that for us, he can do it for anyone. If God can completely change and transform who we are, that friend of yours, he can do the same for them. My other three things are this: we need to pray with passion, we need to pursue with passion, and we need to persist with passion. Three passionate P's. You see where the remember thing didn't really fit in, but it was an important part to put in. We need to pray with passion. John Wesley once said that the prayer is where action is. It's where it begins. It's the first thing we need to do. That person that you're picturing, that person that you can think of, that you know needs to know the truth of Jesus, get on your knees and pray for them. Pray with a passion. Boldly bring that person before God. Cry out for that person before God. Pray that God would begin to do a work in their life, and that he, if the opportunity comes up, that he would use you to do it. Bring that person before God in prayer. Paul once in Romans said this, in Romans 10, he said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for the Israelites is that they may be saved." And so if your heart's desire is for your friend or family member, your son, your daughter, your work colleague, your neighbor, whoever it might be, to be saved, if it's your heart's desire for that to happen, then there's no better place to start than prayer. Be passionate about praying for that person, then pursue with passion. Pursue opportunities to share the gospel with that person. Make it your prayer: God, open up doors and opportunities for me to share you with this person. Help me to have the boldness and the strength to step out of my comfort zone to do it. Pursue opportunities with passion. And then finally, persist with passion. Don't give up. Don't give up. Adam's friend hasn't yet become a Christian, but he's not going to give up on him. He's going to keep trying to take those opportunities to meet with him, to share with him, to invite him to SU, to youth, whatever it is going to take. Persist with passion. It might happen tomorrow. It might happen next week. It might happen in a year's time, 10 years time, 20 years time. Persist with passion. Keep sharing the truth of Jesus with that person. Some of you might remember we had a guy about a year and a half ago, Ricky, come and he took a youth service, and he shared a story from his home church of a lady whose husband wasn't a Christian, and she was, and she prayed for her husband. She took every opportunity she could get to share Jesus with her husband for 40 years before he became a Christian. But 40 years he became a Christian. He persisted. So we got to persist with passion. Don't pester them. Nobody likes to be pestered. But take opportunities when they come to keep sharing Jesus with other people. We got to pray with passion. We got to pursue with passion. We got to persist with passion. We got to remember what the gospel has done in our lives. Folks, let's be passionate about sharing Jesus with others. Let's be like the early church, and everywhere we go, no matter where we find ourselves, let's spread the word of God. After this, after church today, we all scatter. We all go into different homes, different workplaces, different schools, with different friendship circles, different walks of life. We all scatter. Let's scatter with the word of God with us. Let's, as we scatter, let's scatter it. Let's spread it. Let's tell others about Jesus. Let's be passionate about the gospel. As much tomorrow as we're going to be passionate about reading our Bibles, and we should be passionate about praying, passionate about worship, tomorrow, waking up and say, "God, today, I want to tell people about you. You've completely changed who I am. And so I want to see you change other people. You set me free. I want to see you set others free." Let's be passionate about the gospel. There's what, 700 people maybe in here this morning, 600 people, whatever. If each of us this week told one person the truth of Jesus, Took one opportunity and told one person about Jesus this week. That is 700 people this week between now and next Sunday that have heard the gospel. If we told one person each day, that's like near 5,000. My maths isn't good, but something like 4,000 and something people will have heard the truth of the gospel this week because of you. Because you had a passion to stand up and tell them. That's achievable. One person, 700 people will have heard the truth of the gospel. We could do that this week. That person that you were picturing, how about we be bold, we step out of our comfort zone and tell that person about Jesus this week? It's not always going to be easy. We've got to seek God and ask him to bring along the opportunities for that to happen. We need to have a passion for the gospel, spreading the word of God everywhere we go. We need to have a passion for the lost. Make it our prayer, God, here I am today. Use me. Use me to spread your truth. Use me to tell others about how amazing you are and what you can do in their life. God, open doors and opportunities for me to take a leap of faith and trust that if I just share with somebody, you'll do the work. We don't save anybody. We're rescued people that God chooses to use to rescue others. All we have to do is open our mouths and tell them all about him. The Spirit does the rest. God, here I am. Use me this week. Let's have a passion for the gospel.